today we're joined with
me. No, yes. That's for me. You made a gesture there. Mm. And you weren't just throwing me another Jaffa cake.
No,
you're keeping me very happy with Jaffa cakes. In fact, I'm going to get so fat. I'll blame it all on you. So I'm Tim. Mm.
Hi, Tim. Yeah.
I've got Theo. Fyodor. We're practicing our Russian or our Ukrainian. Mm. And Poppy, Jamie, mm. Evie. But Evie is better than me because Evie, you're doing English language.
Yeah.
I have never taught English language. It's extraordinary. And you explained it to me in the car. I still don't really understand what you're doing. But you're about to do exams in it. I'm so in awe.
I'm doing exams in June.
You're going to be doing all the things that I've never done, really, I think. I was head of English in a school until quite recently.
Oh, wow.
You see how useless I am. I'm greatly relieved not to be doing that at the moment. But I'm still... I teach Chinese children poetry at the moment, which I really enjoy.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right the way down to the age of 8. We do things like scansion. So you know about... meter and iambic pentameters and trochees. Yeah. And they get really excited. Oh, it's a trochee! And I think that's wonderful. You're 8 years old. And you know the difference between ba-bum and bum-bum. And it's splendid. I love the... You're giggling, aren't you? I've gone too far. Come on, ask me some questions. Let's have some organisation here.
So I know you've done some animation. Is there anything that we would recognise?
Not really. I did bits and pieces on bits and pieces. I did a lot of adverts in the 1990s, I think, or 1980s or something. And I was particularly interested in the combination of animation and live action, like Mary Poppins, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And I came in on the back of all that. And then I was offered various jobs, and I thought, do I want to spend my life doing fluffy bunnies? And I thought, in the end, no, I really don't. I think it was a bad decision because I went back into academia and into theatre and to and now I've been doing my own work, and I'm trying to set up animated opera. And I've got a little project where I'm looking at Trial by Jury, Gilbert and Sullivan. Jamie's nodding. You're nodding in a sage way. I'm so proud. Theo is not moving at all. You're thinking, Trial by Jury? This sounds slightly menacing. It's like Liz Truss in under police escort. But no, it's a great little opera written in the late 19th century by Gilbert and Sullivan. And it's a ridiculous plot, half an hour long, perfect for the BBC at Christmas. And so, and what I'm interested in is how do you get, how can you animate sort of convincing real, sort of unreal people in a real way, in a 2D way. So 2D drawn animation, not 3D stuff, but drawn animation, but in a believable way, like a sort of Disney, like a Disney thing, but not Disney. So that's what I'm interested in. Is that sufficient?
Yeah.
I go on, I'm afraid. You shouldn't get me onto animation because then I become really quite serious. If you get me onto theatre and music, I'm sort of all over the place, really. Go on.
Flipping the scripts entirely now, a really stupid question. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Pineapple? But I loathe pizza. No, pineapple doesn't. Pizza. If you go to Naples. I went to Naples years ago. And I worked with the Sisters of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, which was a mouthful in Italian. And it was a wonderful experience. But I had my first pizza.
Whoa.
A real pizza on a huge plate, piping hot, very, very, very thin, and just smeared with tomato. With tomato and cheese, and it was like you don't eat it, you inhale it, and And I realized that there were times when I could be like a vacuum, and off it goes. Same thing, frankly, with a chocolate finger. It's just wonderful. And no bought pizza has come anywhere near that. So when somebody asks me if I want pineapple on pizza, I just think I just don't want anything like that. The thick crust. What is that? That's a pie, not a pizza.
Fair enough.
What sort of toppings do you like, Jamie?
What sort of toppings? I've got to say mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Do you know what a mushroom is in Russian? It's a grubye. Now Theo has embraced a sort of Russian name. He has to have mushrooms with it. Of course. I have this fantasy of Mr. Putin in a fridge. Don't you share this fantasy? I have this fantasy. Oh, you mean the fruit?
Wow, what gave you this fantasy?
What?
What gave you this fantasy?
Because I drew a picture of him.
Wow.
And I met him years and years ago. And it was a little bit frightening. I had to change afterwards. I was suffused with an enveloping sweat. And you shake hands with Dr. Death and you think, yeah, I have to go and change. I was a professor. I am a professor in a Russian university. So I was wheeled out every so often to meet the great and the good, and sometimes the evil. And I met a few people. I met one person who looked just like a toad, and he was in the Russian Parliament called the Duma, and his name was Tolstoy, and he was related to Tolstoy, the great author, and how that family has declined. But anyway, sorry. Let's go back to pizza. It's more edible. frozen peas don't really do very much for us after a while, do they? No. Go on. Do you have another?
Ham. I love ham.
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 Ham and eggs. It's. Are you an egg? Are you an egg person?
I am an egg person. Yeah.
What do you have for breakfast?
Scrambled eggs.
Perfect. Perfect. Now there you see. I can support that. Scrambled eggs.
Absolutely.
Scrambled eggs on toast.
Yeah,
buttered, lathered with butter. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Smeared with butter. You can barely tell which is the toast and which is the slab of butter. Yeah, and isn't it wonderful when it's sort of when it's just melting?
Yes.
And then now better than that. One stage better than that is poached eggs.
Poached eggs.
Can you poach eggs?
No, I can't cook at all.
Evie, you can poach eggs, can't you?
Oh, I never have.
Actually. No, so you boil the water. And you add a little bit of oil, and then you just you've cracked your eggs and put them in a bowl, and then you sort of slip the bowl into the water. You slip the eggs into the you drop the eggs into the water from the bowl. If you crack your eggs into the bowl of hot water, you end up with splashes, and that's not nice. And then these eggs come out, and they're so sort of lovely. And if you get them right, you cut the egg, and the egg is soft. And you put it on toast. It's like heaven. You wake up in the morning, you're feeling sort of grumpy, and you have poached eggs. That is the way to go through life. Poached eggs. And of course, then you would throw some pizza at it and spoil the day. but pineapple is good for you. Did you know?
Yeah.
Pineapple's apparently very good for your joints.
Joints.
Yeah. I've got repetitive strain injury, and you're a drummer.
I'm a drummer.
So what are you going to do? What are you going to do to make sure you don't end up in my position? You're going to eat lots of pineapple.
Lots of pineapple.
And go on. What else do you do? Do you have arm supports for your drum?
I do not know.
You do. You don't.
I
Maybe
don't
you
know.
Should.
Do you have any other hobbies that you do?
I don't have hobbies at all.
You don't have any.
No.
Hobbies?
Almost everything I do is degenerated into work. So you know, I approach it with misery and determination and discipline, and. I don't think I've ever had a hobby. So the animation is work.
Yeah.
Actually, somebody... I was teaching in a school and somebody said to me, you do some drawing, that's your hobby. I thought, no, teaching is my hobby. The drawing is what I... is my passion, is my work. Teaching I do for pleasure. So, yeah, teaching is my... I love the idea that people can be brighter than me. and sometimes don't know it. And I think that's very exciting, isn't it? You just don't know when you're so brilliant. And the point is, the best thing you can do as a student is ask a question which is completely incomprehensible, and you think, I can't answer that one. You may not be able to answer that one, but that's the best question that's ever been. I've now put you on the spot because you're now going to have to produce the most amazing questions, aren't you? Asking a question is much better than producing an answer. You can give 40 different answers to one question, but a really good question is amazing.
I have a question.
Go on.
Well, as a fashion student, I can't help but notice your amazing outfit that you're wearing today with your purple corduroy suit. And
it was made for me by Caroline Andrews, who's a Savile Row tailor.
Oh, wow.
So I did a little show called The Circle on Channel 4. And then after that, various people asked me if they could make me clothes. And I thought, this is so sweet. And this lady said, well, would you like to... Could I do it for you? And I said, yeah. And I don't know why it ended up purple. But anyway, we just wanted to do something different. And so I got this purple corduroy suit, which fits like a dream, although I seem to put on weight. And it still fits. And then I've got this rather nice waistcoat, actually, which was also made for me, but not in German Street. This was made somewhere near the Ritz. So it's quite classy.
Anyone or anything that inspires your fashion sense?
I have no fashion sense. I just think I just think you want to put colours together in an interesting way and just walk around the place as if you own them. Because in the end, you know, when I draw pictures, I think I want to be colour coded. But when I wear things, I don't think I am. I just pick up whatever happens to be there and put it on.
Good mindset to have with clothes.
Well, you're very creative with your fashion design.
Yeah, I do fashion.
And you
school.
Look sort of backwards. You're very retro with the ideas.
Yeah,
I
try to be.
Yeah, you see, you can be because you're young enough to be retro. I'm old enough, whereas I've got to think ahead. I'm not thinking for the grave. Oh my goodness, that's going to be a very nice shroud. I'll put that one aside for later. No. I think at sort of past the age of 60, you've got to be.
You prefer more of a modern look.
I have to find a way of combining things which I know work, but in a slightly more modern way. So I can't really change. I can't really do these amazing cuts of cloth because I don't really have the body for it. But I think I can change the colour and I can change the quality of the material. I can change the material.
Fashion
I think that's
very
fun.
Broad these days. You can do so much with it.
But. Yeah, I've got yellow shoes on, which I think that wasn't. And then I got these, and then I saw Willy Wonka, and I realised actually probably we're quite close in our fashion sense. What is it? Put your hand in your pocket and pull out a chocolate or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never had chocolate like this.
Yeah. Going back a while, you were talking about The Circle.
How was
your experience on that? Was it like, because it kind of reminds me of like a social study experiment.
Well, it was. Do you know about the Milgram experiment?
No, I don't.
This was a sort of pretty awful thing which was done in America, where they got people to do experiments on each other and see who would press the button and do something horrible to somebody else. You have heard of this, and there's a Stanford experiment. And so all reality TV is effectively based on that. And if you, there's a podcast called Edge of Reality, and they interviewed me at some length, and I think I sort of top and tail this podcast. And it looks at the darker side of this. So you often think, or the media likes to put across the idea that people come out of these shows and they can't deal with fame or the loss of fame. The real problem is a thing called the loss of agency. So you go in these shows, and in my case, for a month, day and night, I was sort of controlled. And then I delegate the way I'm presented to the world, to the producers and the editors. So I'm not in control of that, but I am very much controlled. And you have a thing called a voice of God, which is lovely. You think God doesn't speak to you? Yes, he does. He's in the corner of the room through the speaker system, and you say something to the television, and the voice of God says, "Do you mean that?" And you, yeah. or they start typing stuff on the television which you're dictating, and you realise there's not a comma. There's a comma there. So I had a lovely relationship with my voice of God, which is basically your personal producer. But the problem is that control which you have never really stops. So after you finish, the production company still seems to have control over you, and whether they intend it or not, I'm sure they don't intend it. I'm sure they're very benign, but you feel very lost and abandoned after the show stops, and it's really difficult to adjust back to real life. It's taken me 5 years.
Yeah, because you're on your own for quite a lot of that show, aren't you?
Well, that's the illusion you get. I met so many people. Not the people in the show that you saw, but I met lots of producers and runners, and you're not allowed to go around the building on your own because you might bump into somebody else. So everything's arranged, and when they want to take you up to the garden or wherever they want to take you, I can't remember where the places were, but you get earmuffs on, like Princess Leia in Star Wars, which is a very nice design moment, and you get blindfolded, and then people guide you. They put their hands on your shoulder and guide you around.
Trust.
I could do more of this. I quite enjoyed that bit because I'm very needy, and I had a lovely relationships with the runners. And then afterwards I forged relationships with one or two of the people I'd been on the show with. And in fact, I was talking to Woody, who we became very good friends, and I became friends with his family as well. And that's lovely. But you know, the old life is over. That's the problem. It's such a decisive moment being on a show like that. Your old life finishes, and then your new life has to start, and it's quite difficult to know how to negotiate that. That's tough. So when you do ordinary acting, you have agents and you have a union, Equity, and these people sort of protect you from the manipulation by production. So this goes all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century and to the artists, the musical, the Variety Artists Federation. And do you know a lady called Mary Lloyd? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. She was the one who used to sing, "My old man says follow the van and don't dilly-dally on the way." Oh! you know this, don't you?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're all... you're doing...
Yeah,
I'm maybe. But she was a sort of buxom... rather foul-mouthed individual who sang slightly naughty songs with a bit of innuendo, and so at the first Royal Variety performance she wasn't invited because she was considered too naughty, but she led the first strike, and the first federation of unions right the way back in the early history of the unions was for the Variety Artists Federation, and they brought all these performers out on strike because they were being bullied by producers. You know, you're not a name, so you're going to go in there for sort of threepence halfpenny and do three shows a day, and meanwhile the big person is going to be paid an absolute ton, and everybody's doing a 10-minute section or 2-minute section. You know, these wonderful people had rehearsed for their life to be able to juggle three cabbages and an egg, and that was their act. And they did something amazing with the egg at the end, or somebody was tap dancing, and they learned this routine. And they took it round the theatres, and they spent their life on the train. And in fact, The same sort of arrangements were made to give these people cheap tickets on the trains. And so when equity was developed in the 1930s, that acted as a sort of gatekeeper to the acting profession. And in the 1960s, the two unions joined together. And equity doesn't seem to have the same approach as the Variety Artists Federation had. The Variety Artists Federation had the idea that anybody who's performing, and therefore anybody who could be victimized by production, deserves to have a union and deserves to have union representation. And so therefore reality TV performers should have that, but they don't. And equity doesn't recognize reality TV people. I'm a member of equity, but on a different basis. And I think everybody who's performing, it's very hard work, and it's very hard work being yourself. Being yourself on stage or on film or in a podcast is hard work. You know. Have I rambled on? I've rambled on, haven't I? I'm sorry. You're being very generous. Go on, Evie.
Have you done much travelling, and if so, what's your favourite place that you've seen?
Oh, I hate travelling. Oh. This morning I was persuaded to come down to Exeter, and I thought, oh, misery,
yeah,
misery, misery, misery. But I travelled down with a fisherman from Ireland whose brogue was so broad I could barely understand him. 3 hours later, we were talking like great friends. Aww. And he was wonderful. Did you know that you can't tell the age of a lobster?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I told him, in contrast, that the plural of octopus is octopodi. So he's going back to Ireland to brief all his fisherman friends about that, and I feel it's now my duty to tell everybody about lobsters, but it was wonderful. So I like meeting people when I'm travelling, but I hate the process of travelling. It's just a lot of effort, and I've done most of my life has been travelling, and I don't understand how that's possible. I think out of all the places I've been to, Albania is probably the nicest, the most interesting. And I travelled through Albania. I was following the route of Edward Lear, who's the man who wrote The Owl and the Pussycat, in 1848. And so Edward Lear drew these amazing landscapes of Albania, of Greece, of Turkey. And I sat in the same place where he must have sat, and then I drew the view as it is today. He drew a mosque surrounded by cypress trees. I drew a motorway. But Albania was the nicest. And Greece, Greece is still my default foreign language. So if you ask me a question and you expect me to speak in Russian, I'm likely to speak in Greek. And the same thing with Albania. Turkey, I know Turkey very well. Italy, I love Italy. South of Italy particularly, where everybody's a bit sort of violent. And south of Spain, I spent a lot of my childhood in the south of Spain, but have never been back. And I don't yearn to go travel. Where do you travel?
I haven't really done much.
Your father's here, so you can make some. You can drop some strong hints, yeah. And then you'll have a big holiday.
I've only ever been to France, which was lovely.
France is nice, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, did you go to Paris?
No, I'd love to though.
Paris is wonderful, and I love the buildings in Paris. I think. So I love architecture.
Yeah.
Architecture is art you walk through.
Yeah, it is.
And it's and fashion is art you wear.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just artists.
Yeah.
And music is art you play. There you are. We got it all. Go on. Any others?
Just out of interest, what is your favourite word?
It changes by the day. I'm quite keen on limiculus. At the moment.
What does that mean?
It's to behave like a slug. I used to be taught by a man in Oxford. I don't think I should say this, should I? And I used to call him Slug because he looked a bit like a slug. And then I found when I was teaching myself that his was the best book to offer anybody. So I used to recommend his book, but I loathed him as a tutor. But yeah, he did write the best book on the subject. I'm not going to tell you who he is now, but I did call him Slug. And I think he might have heard. I think he might have heard. We didn't have a good relationship. But yeah, limiculus and limacious comes from the same root. It's basically the same thing. What are the words? I like the sound. I like polysyllabic words, but I think you ought to make a big effort to try and use some solid Anglo-Saxon. Not that sort of Anglo-Saxon, but I mean you use some solid sort of single monosyllabic words like go get, go getter, but. And then drop in a few nice long words, and now we're talking about it. I can't think of any interesting words really. What's your favourite word?
Oh, that is a very hard question. My favourite word.
He looks up to the ceiling.
No, that's what I look. I'm thinking.
Now he's looking the other way. He's going to lie. No. did you know when you look up one way? You're remembering something. When you look up the other way, you're planning to lie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's really useful. Now you've got a key to all your friends. Yeah. So what? Do we have any words?
I don't think I do.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think I do.
No, you will have the moment we stop.
Well, yeah.
Because there's this thing called what was it now? L'esprit d'escalier. Do you know that?
No.
Is French, so the spirit of the stairs, and the idea is that when you were in a French salon in the 19th century, and you're being sort of very effervescent and Oscar Wilde-y, and you're thinking you're saying the most amazing things, and then you run out of things to say, and you don't have a riposte for when somebody says something, you don't have a witty reply, and you're coming out of the salon, which is on the first floor, on the floor above the entrance, and you go down the stairs back into the entrance lobby, and then out. So as you're walking down that, oh, I wish I'd said blah blah blah, and that's l'esprit d'escalier, and so you'll have this.
Yeah,
the
have
moment
this.
We stop the podcast, you'll think of the best word ever.
Yes, I will.
And then you think, but you can edit it back in.
I could.
Yeah, you can all look amazing. I will look like the plonker. You see that?
So that's a good word, plonker.
Plonker, isn't it a good word?
I think it's a good word.
What you need to do is to mix. To mix words. There was a fellow in Russia called Miron, and his stage name is sorry, it's impossible. His stage name is Oxymiron, and with a Moscow pronunciation, Oxymiron. But we sat down some time ago now. We sat down and said, is it possible to do to make rap songs where you're mixing serious history, serious politics, serious philosophy with pure filth? And the answer is absolutely, and really rude words, absolutely it is. So in his first LP, which is in English is called The Wandering Jew, and you look at all this is LP, which is covered in Cyrillic, the box thing, and then in the middle of it all is Tim Wilson, and I'm very proud of that. Very proud of that, because my Russian really isn't very good, and I've made little contributions to, you know, really hip hop, rap.
That's cool.
He's on a list of prescribed people by Mr. Putin. I aspire to be. Maybe soon. Right, come on. Theo, you've got one.
Jesus,
yeah, there you are.
On the subject of music, what sort of music do you listen to?
At the moment, I listen to a lot of sort of. I suppose I listen to. If I just want to relax, I listen to 1950s musicals or Sondheim.
Nice.
Otherwise, I might go back to some sort of rather soupy 19th century opera or ballet. I tend not to listen to modern stuff. I tend not to listen to stuff. I've got a lot of books on rap, and I'm sort of interested in it, but it seems like work. Is that too rude? I mean, I like it. I like almost anything. I think if my sort of repetitive strain injury continues, music will have to be the only world I enter. I won't be playing anything. I love music. As an animator, I think in rhythm. Mm. So yes, I'm like you two. If you gave me drumsticks, I would be a drummer. But I've never had a drumstick in my hand. Never.
You played any instruments before?
I played the piano, and I can sort of, and that's useful. Mm. I used to play the clarinet, which is not useful at all. Horrible noise. Certainly, it's a violin. I would love to play, but I don't. Yeah, and I've looked after so many children, many of them going to schools in the UK or coming to me for some summer school, and some of them have brought their violins with them, and I thought, can I just lock myself in my office while they get home? But it's lovely, lovely. Yeah, you know, would I like them to play me a tune? Oh God, yes. That's not going to happen. It's just a screeching noise. But then you suddenly get to a point where something happens and the violin... Anybody here plays the violin? So I'm talking to friends. And there's a point where the violin becomes magical and then it works. And but I think the violin is the extreme example. But the piano, I'm pleased that I was made to play the piano when I was a child. Because it's useful when you're trying to work out what note to sing. You can sort of play it. Well, that's never been the note I've sung. And interesting. And then you set up a metronome. And I think that's interesting as well. It's interesting for English literature as well. You set up a metronome and you get everybody working out how to write a sonnet. Because there's a rhythm there. And it's a really... really, really clear rhythm of 10 beats to a line. Yeah, so it's music, and music runs all the way through. Music is runs as a backbone through. So when you go to the cinema, that's Wagner, because Wagner invented the leitmotif. So you think of Wagner as these sort of big operas, but actually. Wagner's students then took his ideas of the leitmotif. So you have this piece of music that represents a character or an idea. So then there's a fellow called Korngold, who went from Germany to America and started writing music for very early American films. And his successors are doing bom 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 bom, and you know immediately, even without seeing Darth Vader, that Darth Vader is somehow present. You've got the sort of theme of Darth Vader, and that's Wagner, and so when you go to the cinema, you've got this very symphonic sound, haven't you? And that's opera. It's just when we think of opera, we think of sort of big people sounding off on stage in front of behind an orchestra. And I thought, you know, the most exciting thing I've ever done theatrically has been with opera. Because it's huge. If you want to do big theatre, you do opera. And even the biggest musicals don't get anywhere near that. But I love the spirit of the musical. I love I love real performance. And I find it so depressing that everyone's now singing to tracks. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, sorry. Yeah, everything is a track now, even Les Miserables. Les Mis, so well named. Anyway, sorry, another one. Let's recover from that damning comment.
So I'm aware that you've taught English literature in the past.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you like books.
I love books.
Do you
books.
Have a favourite author or a favourite book or genre?
Dickens. Dickens, and particularly Dombey and Son, which isn't about a son at all, it's about a daughter. So if you want an introduction to Dickens, it's Dombey and Son, which is the best book ever. It's wonderful. And get it on audiobook, because Dickens is made for audiobook. Because what Dickens does is every character has their own rhythm. So every character speaks in a particularly distinctive rhythm, as you do. So if we closed our eyes and if you wrote out exactly what you say on a page, we would know which one of you was speaking. just because you've all got a distinctive rhythm of your own.
That's really interesting.
So I think, yeah, Dickens probably. Dickens or some trash. I was in hospital and I read all the collected works of Nadine Dorries, who was for a short while the Minister of Culture, which is sort of at that point we should all giggle loudly. She is the most inept minister, and she's not really very good as a writer, but I felt it was my job to read all her rubbish. And it really is rubbish. I mean, it's page-turning guff. And she's just recently written a political book called The Plot. And The Plot is the story of why Boris Johnson was removed from power. And she thinks there's a sort of these sort of magical, mystical people behind the scenes who are controlling everything. Anyway, but the language that she's used is the language of a sort of bodice ripper. And it's hilarious. If you just read it in a particular tone, it just sounds as if everything is sort of... there's going to be a little assignation at the door. Oh! it's hilarious! It's the best thing she's written. But not for the reason she intended, unfortunately. And so if I want a moment of entertainment, I open up my Nadine Dorries, The Plot, and I can giggle quite happily for the next 20 minutes. I recommend it.
Going back to opera, what is your favourite opera?
Figaro.
Figaro.
Marriage of Figaro, because I did it, and then I took it on tour for about 2 years, and I would still love to do it as an animated opera, and I think it's wonderful because it's all commedia dell'arte and it's clever, and you can see, I think I can see a clear line from Figaro down to Sondheim. Mm-hmm. And it's naughty. It's naughty, and I think there's the idea of something being slightly regarding everybody, a puncturing pomposity. So when you see the Count, and you realise that he's human and rather silly, and in my production I made him eat jelly, and I gave him a little dog, a puppet, and I made him feed jelly to Susanna. And she feed jelly to him while they were singing a duet, and it's very difficult to get jelly in your mouth and get the next note out. And it was funny. Jelly went everywhere, and then they ended up feeding the dog, and it worked. It made so when you put the humour back into opera, that's amazing. But you could do it with the big musicals as well. I love Disney. The big Disney musicals from the 1990s,
yeah.
The Disney Renaissance, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. I actually quite like the remake of Aladdin, oddly.
The new one.
Although Thingamy can't really sing, but I mean, he's not bad. He's not bad, aren't I? Yeah, anyway. But you all sing, don't you?
I do.
You do. There you are, you see. You speak for everybody. Theo, you sing. Oh, right, okay.
He's a good singer.
He is a good singer. He is a good singer. There you are, you see. What? One more from each of you. Come on. I feel I'm controlling this. I'm the victim here. I'm the person being interviewed. And you're all on half term, aren't you?
Yes.
What have you done? Every day is an adventure. Come on. So, Jamie.
Me.
Yep.
I've had some time off. I've seen my friends in town. Yeah, not much really. I'm a very busy guy, but usually, so I've enjoyed the time off.
Right.
Since family. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my god. You don't have exams.
No, not me.
Facing you. You're so lucky. Evie is just thinking, oh my god, I've got exams. Oh. And Theo, you have exams, don't you? You don't
Coming
have
exams. Yeah.
This summer.
Yes.
My goodness, are you ready?
No.
Are you not? No, you'll sail through it. You'll sail through it. The important thing is to prepare.
Yeah, I'm excited to just get sort of like secondary school out of the way.
Yeah.
Go on and do like apprenticeship and stuff like that.
Very good. I think you'll be splendid.
Thank you.
Yeah. So one more question. Come on. Oh, Bob.
So, you went to Oxford University, yeah?
I did. How do you know that?
I read your wiki page.
I don't believe everything that you read there. I didn't have anything to do with that.
No.
Yeah, I got thrown out of my monastery for that.
Really?
Yeah, they said I could go to Cambridge. I thought fate worse than death. Now I like Cambridge, but in those days I thought no. So they said, yeah, monastery or what about Oxford anyway?
Did you enjoy your time there or?
I loved it.
Loved it.
Are you going to go?
I don't think I am though. Oh. I just wanted to know.
Sorry, no, I loved it. I just thought. I arrived there and there was a huge focus on Oxford at the time because there was a television programme called Brideshead Revisited, which came out at about the same time I was there. And everybody was walking around the place with jumpers sort of draped across their shoulders, looking very languid. And people were sort of, one or two people had teddy bears. And this was slightly before Jacob Rees-Mogg. And I think it was slightly before Boris Johnson. He arrived just as I left, so I sort of knew him, and Cameron, who I was told to walk on the other side of the road to avoid, and I met so many really interesting people, Hugh Grant, it sort of, it's the people you meet which is most interesting, and the place itself is very beautiful, but Exeter is beautiful as well, and yeah, it's good.
It's nice.
Wherever you are, you just need to make the most of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
The last time I came here, I think my cat was still alive. My cat has died. It's so, the house is so empty without him. Yeah, I'd be doing this sort of thing, and the cat goes. so you get this sort of comment, and every time I mentioned somebody political, Mr. Putin.
Do you like films? If so, what's your favourite film?
Oh, I love films. Films. What's yours? Come on, tell me yours first.
I can't narrow it down to a favourite.
It's going to be something really serious, isn't it?
Shawshank Redemption is probably one of my favourite films.
Really? Yeah. With all the rain?
I like that film.
Yeah, it's not a bad film, is it? What else?
Maybe Pulp Fiction. It's a good film.
Oh, gosh, you're so serious.
Yeah.
There's a type here.
Whiplash is a good film.
Really?
Yeah, a really good film.
Oh. Yeah, no, I'm going to sound so trite. Mary Poppins.
It's a good film.
It's a
good childhood film.
Have you seen it? You've all seen it, haven't you? See, without Mary Poppins, you would have no Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, because Mary Poppins pushed the envelope of filmmaking. So it gave you green screen, or the original version of green screen. It gave you all that sort of ambition to be able to mix live action with something that doesn't exist, and pre-recorded sound and then post-recorded sound. There's lovely moments in Mary Poppins where you can hear the pre-recorded singing cut in, and then she speaks, and then she go back to the singing. And it's sort of... And it's beautifully filmed. It's very, it's very disciplined. But the animated sequence, which is very small, it's only about 10 minutes. I think in so many ways dominates it. But there's so many scenes where there's a fellow called Elliston or somebody, Ellenshaw, can't remember, Peter somebody, Ellenshaw, who was a matte painter, and so he could extend the pictures. So the little bit of film. There's a very small bit in the frame, and the rest is all this beautiful painting. And you've got one of those in Indiana Jones and the first Indiana Jones film. And you're in a great big warehouse. Do you remember? And the camera pulls back, and there's more and more boxes. All that's a painting. All that's a painting. Yeah, it doesn't exist.
That's so cool.
And it's just beautiful, and Mary Poppins led the way in so much of that stuff. And without that, you wouldn't have modern cinema. Modern cinema, even Shawshank Redemption. You have to get your tongue around that one, don't you? Shawshank, you can't say that when you're angry.
I mean, I've only seen that film once, but I feel like
But you could see that again and again and again, and it's what about The Green Mile? Have you seen that?
I'm yet to see that. I know like what happens and everything. Yeah, but I've never like.
But it's of a type, isn't it? This is your type. What about you, Evie? What do you like? Are you in the? You have to watch the same programs, don't you? Really, you have to.
I don't really watch that many films. I always have so much work to do. I don't really have time.
No, you have to make time.
I like sort of old rom-coms.
Yes, your old rom-coms probably be quite modern for me.
Probably, yeah. 90s.
Yes. I haven't got round to some of those. Yeah. What can you give me an example?
I like the film 10 Things I Hate About You with
I know that. Ledger. I know that. Yeah. Like not a bad film, is it? Yeah. Not a bad film.
I do like a few Hugh Grant films, like.
Well, all of them, really. I mean, they're. Notting Hill. He's very good. He's very good. Notting Hill is the one where he does the thing sort of. Yeah, and he's got the thing outside the gates where he said "Whoops-a-daisy."
Oh yeah.
I think
climbs over the gates.
He's very good. I remember him as a student, and he used to walk around the place in his scholar's gown because he was very proud of that. We were contemporaries.
Oh.
We're about the same age, I think.
Sorry.
I'm not so old, but I mean he's better preserved. I think it would be nice. I'd like.
Should get him on the podcast.
Wouldn't it be great? He'd be very dry and rather bad tempered, I suspect. He's made a thing of that, really. What about you? What are your films?
Do you have a favourite film?
Go on.
Die Hard,
the first one.
Yeah.
The one once at a Christmas.
Yeah.
The best Christmas movie ever.
Exactly. Yeah.
With Bruce Willis when he was magnificent.
Yes.
Yeah, it is Bruce Willis, isn't it?
Yeah.
So good. So, Jamie, what about you? We're going to put you on the spot again.
I would say the Cornetto trilogy.
The what?
The Cornetto trilogy.
What is the Cornetto trilogy?
Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End. Simon Pegg and
Nick. I've seen them. And, yeah. Why?
They're such great films.
I think I like the comedic aspect as well as the
action. Shaun Pegg Simon.
Simon Pegg. And Nick Frost.
It's Shaun of the Dead, and it's Simon Pegg. Yeah. He's got better and better, hasn't he? I'm not so convinced. If this were what's the film? Room 108. Is it 108? 101. Room 101. I wouldn't give you that, Jeremy.
I like him in Spaced.
Seen Spaced.
Oh, it's really good.
Is this a TV series?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch TV very much.
It's very good though.
Yeah, I mean, my television is often sort of tuned to Turkish TV, which I don't understand.
Do you not watch many like TV shows? Do you not watch like Breaking Bad or anything like that?
I watch Breaking Bad. Oh my god, you're too young to be watching Breaking Bad.
Nah.
Really?
Nah.
You could probably explain it all to me.
It's such a good show, though.
It's such a good show.
I loved it.
And have you watched Narcos?
I think that's the.
Yeah, it's all about this.
Sort of, the Spanish.
Yeah, the sort of Spanish, Spanish Mexican stuff. It's there's a lot of that stuff. I look at Netflix a bit. A long TV series I can sometimes stomach, but the shorter stuff and the lighter stuff I tend not to watch anymore. I just think.
Yeah, Breaking Bad took me, I think, a year to watch.
Oh, it takes a long time, and there's a sequel as well, isn't there?
Better Call Saul, which is sort of.
Better Call Saul.
It's a prequel and a sequel,
which was good until the last season, I think, when he'd been ill or something. And
I've been told that's like one of the best seasons.
Is it? Maybe
I've been told it was the. First, second, and third season, which was like quite boring,
and then right? Really, and the last one, I just found it some the opening episodes of that I found really quite difficult to get back into.
And then think they made a sequel film as well, El Camino, which is like
Jesse Pinkman. Part of my problem with television is I go to sleep. And when I was your age, I'd go to the cinema and there'd be some old lady sitting sort of in the row in front, snoozing away. I think, well, why did she pay for this film? And now I'm that old lady. It's dreadful. It's dreadful. I think I found the only time I can go to the cinema and be sure that I'm not going to fall asleep is in the morning. And now my local cinema has stopped doing morning films. I think, you beast. Beast. So you and I, I like early morning films. 8 o'clock would be my ideal time to go to the cinema. In the morning. With breakfast. Not popcorn. Popcorn, really bad. Really, I'm asleep by the time the adverts have finished.
They do take a long time, actually, in the cinema.
They really do, and you try and time it so you don't have to watch them. Yeah. I like adverts. I used to make adverts. I feel I should support them, but so many of them are so sort of repetitive, and a lot of them are sort of...
Yeah. I prefer older adverts. I've seen sort of, like, 60s adverts, and they look so...
They're so nice, and some of them might be mine.
It's actually about the product that
they
want to sell, not just...
Yeah, and not all these mad camera moves where it make you sort of vertiginous or nauseous or...
Mm, they just film sort of random stuff and then they put the product at the end, even though the whole advert...
Don't understand. Product...
So I have another question.
Oh!
So this half time I just turned 18.
Congratulations, mazel tov.
So... my question is, what were you doing at 18?
I think I was becoming a monk. I'm not suggesting you should go off and become a nun.
Tempting, but no thank you.
I think I finished school quite early, and then I did a year in St Andrews University.
Oh yeah.
And then I became a monk. I applied to Oxford while I was in St Andrews, and I got accepted. And then the master who'd accepted me died, and he hadn't done the paperwork. So I thought, oh, this is all rather awful. I might as well go off and become a monk. And then I applied again, and the acting master of my college sort of accepted me on principle. And then when the new master came in, he said I had to do Oxbridge again. So I thought, oh. So I did. And then I got accepted, and it was a while before I got the results and stuff, and a while before I was due to go. And then I just assumed the monastery knew, and they were very cross with me.
Oh, that's a long process to get
into. It was a long process, yeah.
It is a very long process to get into uni.
Yeah. Sort of where have you applied to?
We get to apply to 5 unis, and I've got 5 out of 5 offers.
Very good. Yeah, congratulations.
I'm thinking of going to UAL in London.
Oh, right. Oh, my goodness.
London College of Fashion.
Yes, no. That would be spectacular.
Yeah. So spectacular. I think I'll be going there.
And you have an interest in 60s fashion anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
It's walking around Carnaby Street and stuff. And
yeah, I love a good fur coat.
Yes, well, you're modelling one already.
Yeah.
So
it's boiling, actually.
Is it real?
Yeah, I'll have to take it off.
It's not real, though.
No, it's not real. No.
She made it herself.
Yeah, just skin the animal alive.
Yeah. It's made up of small guinea pigs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's where the guinea pigs went.
I feed them this morning, they've just gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what watch out if you may need to patch up.
Yeah.
That would be another guinea pig.
Yeah.
Hamster. We're sort of exhausted with questions.
It was lovely to meet you. Thank you so much. It was lovely
to meet you. It's a delight. I feel I've sort of taken up far too much of your time.
Oh no, it's been really enjoyable.
It's fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming.
No, thank you very much for having me. I've been offered so much chocolate. I could start a shop.